The New York State Housing Stability and Tenant Protection Act of 2019 has already been implemented. It created a lot of hardships on landlords, a lot of hardships that would make people get out of business, and that is creating a shortage of apartments and raising prices. I personally retired early when that happened, and for most of mine. You have to go through the newyorkcourts.gov website to get an application to proceed with an eviction, and it makes the process so difficult that many people might have difficulty. You can't ask the court for any advice if your paperwork is right, so it makes it very difficult to. So this is just the background of some of the things that we're facing, and the paperwork's confusing, and the courts are busy. Now, as far as the Good Cause Eviction Act, there's too many reasons here, so many reasons. And I thought about, like, if that happened, what I would do. And I said, well, for one, I wouldn't do any unnecessary maintenance. If I couldn't raise, and I don't even raise rents that much anyhow, but if I was told what I could do, I would stop unnecessary maintenance. I would stop cosmetic maintenance, as long as it was legal. You know, so that's some of the effects that this could have on our community, where properties could become not as nice. And it would send nicer apartments to other towns out of our town for investors, for towns that don't have limitations on what the rents can be or restrictions. Not too long ago, the town of Cairo had a moratorium on turning resorts into apartments. And you know, that was for the same reason of not, they didn't want to have too many not well-maintained properties. And the overall effect too is driving small businesses out of the business and making it open for larger businesses. The other notes that I have, I emailed. I don't know if you want me to read them or you have them there. Maybe I'll state the main paragraph.
If you want to highlight real quick, you got 45 seconds left.
All right. Well, that landlords who are restricted in running their business will eventually shrink their business, which will lead to less housing and higher rents instead of growing into more housing on the market to help reduce the price and increase availability. So it's going to have an opposite effect, as well as what the other statements that I made. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Sir, yes, state your name, please.
Hello, my name is Adrian Hernandez. I live on Main Street in Catskill. So I have some statistics from, this is a paper that's released every year. It's called the Out of Reach, that's just the name of it, by the Hudson Valley Partner for Progress, and it kind of highlights housing issues in the Hudson Valley. And for Greene County, right now there is a wage gap between what the hourly renter wage on average is versus how much it costs to afford a one-bedroom, and that's $4 an hour, which is kind of substantial to not be cost-burdened by housing. And this translates to, if you do not want to be cost-burdened, you need to work approximately 1.3 jobs or 54 hours a week. And if you take this outside of renting and go towards how much it costs to buy a home, there is a gap of approximately $154,000 that somebody is unable to have when they're putting a down payment of 6% down. So people who are renters are having difficulty paying for housing. We have that in numbers. And it's difficult for them to transition outside of renting if they want to purchase a house. And also, they have information about people coming into the county versus people leaving, and the salary or wage of people coming in is approximately $10,000 to $15,000 more than the people leaving. And you'd think, you know, those numbers by themselves maybe don't mean anything so much, but what it translates to is that we have people coming in, they are starting small businesses, not just landlords, but people who have restaurants, people who have, but they're not having, there's the Congress of not having employees who can afford to live here also. And that causes, you know, if we have a bunch of places that are available for rent, but there's not any kind of, not even like rent control, but just like a ceiling, which isn't even what this is, because you can have it a luxury price outside of it, and also 10% is a huge amount to raise it. If you don't have those protections, then the workforce can't afford to live here. Like, that's just simple math about how a local economy works. And to even support what that this wouldn't affect too many people, the average change for market value for a two-bedroom apartment in Greene County was 3%, well below the 10% maximum of it. So statistically, this wouldn't affect that many landlords. It's just giving protections so that if for some reason a whole new group of people come in and they have money and they don't understand the locale and what the economy is based on, they don't raise it up to something that wouldn't be supportable by the local residents. And so that's the mathematics, statistical background that supports housing is difficult. And we need, this is a safeguard, not something that's trying to overhaul the housing industry that is
Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Please stand up and state your name.
Hi, I'm Steph Zimmerman, and I'm a renter in the town of Catskill. Last public hearing, there were a few concerns about good cause that came up, so I just wanted to address a couple of those. First was that it will make it harder for landlords to evict tenants, and I just want to clarify that all good cause requires is, in terms of evictions, is that landlords must legally state a reason, a good one, that they're evicting a tenant or not renewing a lease. Some causes is not already required by the law, but it just seems like common sense that we should give a reason if someone is going to be removed from their house. And then good cause really clarifies all the reasons that are a good cause. These are really common sense. Non-payment of rent, illegal use of premises, committing or permitting a nuisance. There's so many in the law. You can kind of go and read them for yourself. But if requiring landlords to simply state a good reason why they are evicting a tenant is too much of a burden to place on landlords, I think that's really like too low of a standard that we're kind of setting for landlords. Second, one of the concerns you mentioned last time is that it will lead landlords to take housing off the rental market. And there was a recent study released just a couple months by the Center for Urban and Regional Affairs through the University of Minnesota and the Salinger School of Business and Management through Loyola University. And the study analyzed states like California, Oregon, and New Hampshire, and these states have passed good cause-like laws. They're called just cause. Many years ago, so there's research about how these laws are actually working that we may not have like here in New York because it was passed within a year. And this study found that the adoption of these similar laws did not lead to a decline in new housing, construction, or the overall rental supply compared to neighboring states without such laws. This is from the study. Our findings indicate that tenant protections can have their desired effects of keeping families housed and not negatively impact the housing market. So the concerns that are kind of speculative, this might happen, they're just not kind of found in the study that's actually based on kind of concrete information in these states where these laws have already been passed many years ago. Third concern that was brought up is that it will kind of, there's potential for it to be misinterpreted by people, and it will lead to courts being really overwhelmed. It will lead to a lot of like frivolous kind of eviction filings, which would be a problem. One, I think the chance that people might misinterpret the law is not a good enough reason to pass it, and I think it's maybe just more of a reason to really clarify the law, and I think I'm happy to like offer free communication if you want to like work together to create some like educational materials. We've kind of created stuff for the Village of Catskill, so we're happy to do that to kind of decrease any kind of miscommunication that might happen. Two, the legal process for these evictions is not even being changed by this law. So like as the landlord was mentioning before, there's paperwork that's involved. None of that is even being addressed by this law. The eviction process is the same. Other than that, they have to state a good reason, which feels like common sense.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just have like 30 more seconds, please?
And I'm going to try to be as fair as possible. 3 minutes, everybody.
I have such a good point.
If you want, you can give it to one of your friends to talk in your place. So.
Can I cede my 30 seconds to her?
No. Ma'am, you were next.
Okay. Well, I'll start by saying that you can make cosmetic changes because you can increase the rent by up to 10% a year. So I guess I'm just confused if your plan was to increase, to do cosmetic changes and then just increase the rent by like 50%. Like, I don't really understand exactly how that would work. Okay. But so I guess it's just like you still are allowed to increase the rent. You can increase it up to 10%. And that's a huge number. That's a huge financial burden on most people who live here. So I just think that, you know, we're getting caught up in this idea that it's an overhaul, and I think that it really is just like clarifying the law more and allowing people to have facts for when they go to court. Like, this is illegal for this reason, this is allowed for this reason. It lays a groundwork for us to refer back to, which I think is huge, because right now we're just kind of floating through space and being like, that doesn't feel right to me, or that's too much, or it's like kind of based on gut, which is just not really a productive way to have a housing, a safe housing community.
Okay. Thank you.
Patrick, are we allowed to ask a question?
No. Sir, did you have something up front?
I was mostly piping up as a joke, but I'll speak a little bit. I live on William Street. My name is Dylan Scott, me and my wife live in Catskill. We patronize local businesses. We both work full time, and if without good cause, eviction, and without a limit on rent hikes. If our rent was hiked significantly more than it was now, more than 10% a year, we might have to move out of Catskill. And I think that would be overall bad for the local economy and bad for Catskill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I did see it. I hang it up. Man with the red hat, you were first.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, my name's Morgan, and I live on Bridge Street. And to finish up study statement is because I actually do think it's really interesting. It's from the same study from Princeton.
It's a different study, but
from Princeton. It's basically that through the study they found that a passage of a just cause or good cause eviction ordinance actually has had a net negative statistical significance on eviction rates. So if something like this would be passed, there's actually a study that's been done that has said there's been less eviction filings, and I would assume that's due to the explanation of good cause evictions. And then I also just want to say that it really is, it's difficult for me to hear like this like landlord against tenant sort of language, because
it was only 45 seconds. That's not you. Keep going.
Okay.
I apologize.
But it's because I just like simply know that that's not true for the village. Like, if something like good cause, where like you are allowed to evict tenants for all of the reasons we listed, you know, non-payment, nuisance, like literally anything, this bar is so low. And if something like this makes you want to sell your properties, you were not in the biz for the right reasons, which is to house people, and that it doesn't need to be like landlords versus tenants. Like, and if we can all think of housing as something that everyone in our community deserves, especially people who have been in their homes for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, all of a sudden, because so many new people have moved in, you're gonna get a rent increase for 20% and you can't pay it. Like, that's not about, you know, a tenant or a landlord, that's about a community member who now is being pushed out and has to live somewhere else. And so I just wanna like think about that too, because in the city of, the town of Catskill, there's been 191 eviction filings since 2019, and of course some of those were under good causes, but there were also plenty of those where those were families that no longer are here, and maybe we know them or can think of them or know somebody who was affected by something similar, and it really sucks to see people go because somebody who's greedy, who's not even living in Catskill, but who's a landlord who lives in the city or Vermont like mine, or those sorts of people who aren't contributing here and are just kicking out our neighbors, so... those are the like landlords, I guess, that I want to bring into our mind's eye, not like our community members.
Thank you. Ma'am with the green coat, you had, please stand up and state your name.
Hi, I'm Peggy Malloy. I live at 229 Main Street here in Catskill in a three family, and my landlord is Christopher Fitzgerald from New Jersey. He just bought the place a year ago, and my lease was up in May. And he texted me to say my rent, which is $1,050, will now go up to $1,500. And I texted back and said, I don't think so. And he said, how about $1,400? And I still said, no. So now we're down to $1,350, which I can pay, but I don't want to, and I don't think I should need to. And that's a 30% increase. And I go
So, just to let you know, you live in the village of Catskill?
Yes.
The village of Catskill has a good cause eviction law on the books. So I would reach out to the village board and the clerk over there, Anna Signoretti, and bring this up to them.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I saw a hand up go before yours.
Go ahead.
Okay, Vitaly, you're up.
All right. So I just want to feedback back on some notes. Vitaly Bobkov, PM Lounge. So people mentioned reasoning for evictions. In good cause, there are like 10 different things. When you go to evict someone, judge always listening for reasoning. And reasoning, it might be 20 different stories, 50 different stories. So what's the point of just limit to basic 8 or 10 or 15? It's, in my opinion, it's important for landlord to bring his tenant to come to the judge and that both sides give them stories and the judge decide how long tenant can stay, if he can stay and continue to live there, or he can basically leave. So that's first point. As far as high rents, yes, we know that rents are high, but there are reasons for that. Construction materials up. I just priced 5-ton unit, got a price $28,000 to replace condition unit. Lumber, I don't know, I used to buy it for 70 cents, now it's what, like 350 for 2x4. So everything is going up, so naturally it's landlords not just being in this business to provide housing, as you mentioned, it's business. So business is based on expenses and income. If expenses are going up, income needs to go up to compensate for that. So if taxes going up, insurance going up, labor going up, material going up, naturally rents are going up. So it's just a cycle. Inflation. As far as studies, not sure where they're getting their studies. It's not from Catskill. I know that I'm a landlord for 25 years, and there was much more supply on the market. And now people calling me every week pretty much asking for apartments and we don't have enough. So demand is here and demand is higher than supply. Many landlords get out from this business because of bad tenants. Because people come and they destroy the house, then you can't recoup your money, you have to fix it. To fix apartment costs a lot of money, you need to transfer that cost to basically next tenant. So that all needs to be kind of considered. So in my opinion, there is no point of extra loss. You have a judge, you have a landlord, you have a tenant. That's two opposing sides. You come to the judge and let judge to decide. And basically hear all arguments for and against.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Eliza Dichter. I live in Piscataquis. I was a renter for many years. I am now a homeowner and a community member, and I just want to respect and honor the folks who are talking about their businesses and recognize that part of what the work that you all, you know, do and put your heart and your time into is to figure out how to balance. There's a reason that plumbers have to be licensed. There's a reason that cosmetologists, there's a reason that you all are going to be talking about cell phone towers and batteries, and these are all businesses, of course. But there's the ripple effects of those businesses, and so it matters whether something's going to catch fire or if something's going to put an undue burden on the roads or if it's going to, you know, create a housing stock that's going to be unsafe, it's going to have ripple effects in the community. And when my kid's friend has to move out of the district because they can't afford it, we hear the ripple effects. And when we think about what it means to have a community versus a site of business extraction, when we think about like where we have to have balances and where you have to make a choice if you're going into a business and recognize that there's going to be some licensing costs, there's going to be some regulatory costs, there's going to be some expectations around community care, the ways in which you all take into consideration, I think, will look at the big picture. And so that's like, how far is something from a this? How much is it going to affect the schools? How much? And so I just want to say, like, this particular law may have, like folks said, you know, not a huge amount of change, maybe more of a step in some direction. But in general, I think this and other things that you all can do and we as a community can support to say, there are priorities, and it isn't just who can make the most buck and take the most advantage, but also what does it look like to have folks living here of all economic levels, who are working all the different kinds of jobs, and you know, with those workforce housing, which is sort of an emergency for Green County, and those kind of things are also important. So I think the ripple effects for folks' businesses, if they look at the big picture, may also be of benefit if you're in this community. If you're not, as folks pointed out, maybe not so much, but maybe that's not our collective priority about who we are and who we live with and who we see and hang out with and all that. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Anybody else?
Can I ask a quick question?
State your name, sir.
My name is Anthony DeSantis. Are you planning on voting? When is the vote to adopt or not adopt?
So the next process after this, if everybody from the public is done, I'll ask the board their intentions. If we close the public hearing tonight, we can vote on it. We can vote to approve it. We can vote to deny it, or we can vote to table it, and we can visit it at a further date or a future date.
Okay. Then may I speak?
I have a comment.
Let him go first.
Sorry, sir.
That's all right.
No.
Can you go ahead?
No, please.
Who's going?
Yes.
You ready?
Either way.
You're up.
Yeah.
So, 3 minutes is not enough time to address this for anybody. This problem, the problem of keeping as many people housed and happy and growing our community, is not a 3-minute conversation. And I understand the democratic process. I'm not suggesting you're doing anything wrong. What I'm saying is that what I hear is a lot of, there is a metaphor or an old fable about the 5 blind wise men and the elephant. And each one touches a different part of the elephant and comes to a conclusion of what an elephant is. And all are right, but all are wrong. Because this is a huge issue. It's not just about capping a landlord's ability to manage their properties, which that is doing. You're taking away my ability to manage my business. And I understand all the arguments as to why doing that allows people to stay in their houses. But I'm telling you, I hear a lot of conflation and a lot of erroneous information. Village is not the same as town, and there are huge differences. When I grew up here, Main Street, I used to go to Day and Holt, I'd go to get an egg cream from the soda fountain, et cetera, et cetera. And then we went through a period where Main Street was 60 to 70% empty. And so that's why this county building is here, is because those buildings were falling down and they need to put something there to keep the Main Street from being a disaster area. And so we're going through a very tenuous recovery. And if I'm sitting somewhere looking at a map going, where am I going to invest? I want to retire. I want to do what Americans have done for decades, for centuries perhaps, and I'm going to buy a property and I'm going to rent it, and that's going to be part of my retirement. Am I going to pick a place where I'm capped, where I can't control my own business? I'm not. If the issue is bad landlords, number one, that's a code issue. It's an enforcement issue. It's not a financial issue. And by the way, if I've kept my rents low for decades in this area, because I know the people, I know the area, and all of a sudden I am told I'm capped, and my water bill went up by 10%, and my trash bill went up by 15% the last 3 years, and the electric bill, they're asking for the ability to raise the electric again. And I can't meet those increases with a commensurate rental increase and manage my business in that way, then number one, I'm not going to stay here, but number two, no one's going to come here. And this recovery that is so tenuous, because all it takes, this town has done this over the decades, you all know this. Nothing is given, nothing is guaranteed. If the economy changes and we go in the toilet, then what we're enjoying now goes away. And so adding layers, more layers, and making it harder to be a landlord, to keep people housed, is
understood.
A mistake. Right.
Thank you. There was, yes ma'am, please stand up and state your name.
Sure. My name is Katie Friel. I live 3 miles off 9W, west of Schoharie Turnpike. Don't really even have a name for my neck of the woods, actually. I am a property owner, I'm a permanent resident, and I have a tenant. And I'm nervous giving this comment. I want to say that before I invested in property here, it was my obligation to make sure that I could financially manage that investment. And I have done so and managed to provide extremely fair rent to my tenant. It is the choice of every property owner whether to create a lease that includes utilities in it or does not. So if the issue is utilities, which is also something that needs to be discussed as a separate issue and part of that elephant that we're talking about, I have a lot of opinions about that and how to help the working class people of this place afford the necessities to live here. I am firmly in support of good cause eviction and all kinds of tenant protections because working class people need to be able to live here. And all of the people who want to move to this area and enjoy its beauty and, you know, increase the economy here also want the services that working class people provide them. And that cannot be overstated, and it's deeply undervalued and deeply under discussed.